Hi, DJ Bliss. Welcome to Spill the Tea on Golf Buzz.
This is going
to
be the loudest interview we ever do. If you're watching, you know we're in a barbershop.
So, DJ Blink.
Did you call me DJ Blink? I know you're like the 100th person who's done that. Should I change my name to DJ Blink?
How did you come up with the name?
I always use the line, the name found me. I didn't find the name.
So any hints you're giving out for season two for that?
I told you guys, I'm going to give you exclusives today. Will Smith, The entire Moroccan football team, French Montana, DJ Snake. No, hold on. I know what to say. I don't know about that. That is a question for Netflix, but I'm looking forward to season two.
Hi, DJ Bliss. Welcome to Spill the Tea on Golf Buzz.
Thank you, and welcome to Beats and Cuts. This is going to be the loudest interview we ever do. Just a warning to everyone who's... Well, if you're watching, you know we're in a barbershop, but if you're listening and you hear blow dryers, scissors, clippers, the phone ringing, we're in Beats and Cuts. So apologies for the noise, but it's part of the authentic experience.
I 100% agree. Thank you for having us. You're in your salon. It's beautiful. It's nice.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for coming on the show first.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
DJ Bliss, we know your music. People know you from the Bibling as well. But before we start, I want to know, how did your career start into getting into DJing?
A lot of people don't know this. I have mentioned it. I actually started off like in a band first. I was playing the guitar. I was playing the drums. I was into like alternative rock music. Like I was listening to bands like Nirvana, Alice in Chains, Soundgarden, and, you know, things like that. So initially it started like that. And then my high school days, I used to like do like a little bit of music during my breaks. I used to do my high school radio. And then the DJing part, really, like I was just one of those kids, was not part of the cool kids in school, wouldn't get invited to the parties. I was like, how can I get invited to these parties? So I started like collecting music to play music and throw my own parties.
Really?
True story.
And how did you come up with the name DJ Bliss?
I had this business card ready with all the details except for the word, like the DJ, what it was, DJ and then blank, and then my email address and telephone number and all that stuff. I had a fax number on there back in the day. I asked my dad for his fax number. And then I saw the word and it was like a beautiful meaning. It means extreme form of happiness. I'm like, oh, this is a pretty cool word. So I just went with it then. But you know, it was like years later, or maybe like, you know, not too long ago, where I realized that this word reflects the energy I like to have around me. Anytime I'm in a room, anytime I'm at a concert, it's how I like people to feel. It's how I like myself to feel as well. So it was like a name. I always use the line, the name found me. I didn't find the name. And then like it was years later when it made complete sense to me.
I think that's how it is for a lot. Like even for me, that's how like I first, like when I wanted to start something, I'm like, when the name will hit my mind, and that's when we start. That's exactly the same thing that happened to me. So when was your first...
I was just going to say, I'm like, your name, I'm sure your mom and dad had something to do with that. You weren't like in this world, like, what should I call myself?
Son.
But it would be cool, right? I think we're like... Would it surprise you if they said, hey, there's a new rule now where you can change your name to what you think you would change your name to?
Yeah, that would be cool. But I don't know what I would get my name to. Like, I don't know. I think I'm good with my name.
Yeah.
Like when I was young, I wanted to have my name as Mickey because of Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
But now when I
I'm glad there's no rules that allow you to change your name.
Can you walk us through your first breakthrough in the industry, and when did that happen and how?
It's been so many different things because I've had a long career in like different sort of sectors. You know, I started off DJing a little bit and getting into clubs. And then around the same time, I got into radio as well. So when I was working on radio, it really boosted my DJ career. And then I did radio and DJing for a while. And then I did TV for a short period as well. I had my own TV show. So it was always like some new thing that I was doing that was, you know, kind of like contributing to what was going to be the next thing for me. And most recently, I mean, it's Netflix, of course, like Dubai Bling, like it completely changed my life. You know, before it was like, I would go travel. I would go to places. I get, certain gigs, but this one has like elevated me to like a place where, you know, a global audience is now aware of what I'm doing and the music that I'm making.
When Dubai Bling came out, how did like that completely elevate with, you know, people now recognizing you for your work? Then they must have definitely gone through, checked your work. And how has that impacted you?
In a very positive and a great way. You know, like I've been creating content on YouTube, making music, being on tours, DJing and all that stuff for a long time. But now I have like, you know, an audience of people from like Netflix who've watched the show and have become fans of the show or fans of us. And, you know, they started following me, and, you know, it's about building your tribe. And for me, the ultimate goal is really like music, you know, DJing, music, performance, and going around the world. I feel like we import a lot of talent over here in terms of artists and DJs, and I want to be the first person who gets exported out of here.
So you are definitely the first Emirati DJ to also get international recognition. How does that feel?
It's pretty amazing. I don't think about it as much when you say it right now, or when I've heard people say it, it's like, wow, you know, it's quite a responsibility, and I hope I do the best that I can in it and inspire the new generation and people who are coming up and pave the way for them to do it bigger and even better than I did it.
And what would you tell the aspiring, you know, DJs in the Middle East region?
I would say it's a lot of work. It's hard. It's a very competitive industry right now. There's so many DJs. You know, technology and music has become so accessible that, you know, a lot more people can do it. But like anything else, you know, you have to be on top of your game. If you really love it, if music is your passion and you're an artist, then you know that, you know, this is what you want to do. You just have to put your mind to it. I always say, like, be persistent and consistent, and then, like, you'll achieve whatever you want in life.
So, yeah, it is very important to be persistent and, you know, to be consistent, to grow. We've seen you've incorporated a lot in your music, whether it's the Middle Eastern world, the Afrobeats. So I want to talk about your song Halla Wala.
Yeah.
And how did you incorporate the Arabic beats into it?
So I've always made songs that had some kind of influence, you know, whether it was reggaeton, a little bit of Arabic or things like that. But I thought, let me like start incorporating like Middle Eastern sounds, or, you know, stuff that can have an identity. So when people hear it, like, oh, this sounds like a song that DJ Bliss would do.
Yeah.
You know, so that was really the idea behind it.
And how do you see the Arabic beats influencing the world now?
I think it's making a huge sound. You know, a lot of new DJs are remixing songs. A lot of Arabic artists are open-minded into, like, you know, collaborating with Western artists. So I believe it's time. You know, I think right now is the time for like Arabic music, and it's on the rise for sure.
When you did your first own show, like, you know, what is that feeling like?
Tough, very hard. It was my own show at Coca-Cola Arena. I put the show together myself. A lot of work goes into organizing an event. So when you're the artist and the organizer, it could be a little, you know, tough. It definitely was draining for me to do. Would I do it again? Yes, but differently. You know, I would definitely get a team to come and organize that part of it, because, you know, even though I'm pretty good with business in terms of having businesses or have organized my own events before, I still feel like I want to focus like 100% on the artistry so that I get 100% back.
How did you, like, you know, push yourself through when you were feeling very low, when you were doing your own, like, putting your show together? Because I'm sure there might be a low feeling when you were putting all together, because sometimes it gets overwhelming.
Yeah.
So how do you get through that?
Great question. I think it's just one of those things that you ride through. Like today, you know, like when it rains and everywhere there's water everywhere, you think, how's this problem going to go away? But you wake up tomorrow morning and that water's gone. So I always try to think about it in that sense, like, to not focus too much on the problem or the situation that I'm in. Because, you know, things eventually do get better. You do forget, you know, you may do bad in a business. You may have a bad day. You may lose money on a deal. But what's sitting here and trying, like, just think about it going to do? Nothing really. It's better if you just kind of get yourself out of that mood and start thinking about how to get into a situation where you can make more money to for the loss or you know, for
so
that.
So basically
matter.
Take the risk.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you're not willing to take the risk, it's impossible to get into businesses and do events or things like that. You have to be willing to take the risk. You win big and you could lose big as well.
So DJ Bling, you are one of the well-known DJs. I want you
Did you call me DJ Bling?
No, DJ Bliss. Sorry.
You know, you're like the 100th person who's done that. Should I change my name to DJ Bling?
You can. We can ask
so
people
So many people
to.
Do that, by the way. Yo, DJ Bling. I'm like...
Do you think it's happened after the show?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
So I want you to let people understand what is beats per minute, because even I don't know it very well.
Man, you got great questions. So beats per minute is a term that only DJs know. The short word for it is BPM. And it's exactly what it is. So it's how many beats there are per minute. So then if you have a song, like if I was to play a song, let me show you, like, for example, how you count it, right? Maybe I'll play one of my new songs that no one's heard before.
Ooh.
That I told you guys, nice. I'm going to give you exclusives today.
That is nice.
All right, here we go. Yeah, I'm going to play you something. All right, so then you have a beat like this. So this is how you count, right? So you hear that, right? So this is how you count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So you count how many of those beats there are in 1 minute.
Okay.
And that gives you the beats per minute, which is the speed of the song. So the best way for me to explain it to you is exactly like two cars. So if a car is driving at 135 kilometers per hour and this other one is driving at 80 kilometers per hour constantly, this car is going way faster. So that means that you're not matching the BPM. So this car has to not only, if he starts driving 135 like the other one, he's still not going to catch up because that car is ahead. So this car has got to drive 150 for a little while to catch up to this guy until he's next to him, and then drive 135.
Oh.
So when you have two songs with 135 kilometers per hour, they're going to be at the same speed, right? So the same thing with the songs. When you get them at the right speed at the right time, that's how you mix the songs together.
Ah, now I know, because I really didn't know about this, because, you know, we've always seen that, you know, the DJs, they take you on a high and then they mix and you just grew on it.
Yeah. So there's definitely an art to it. By the way, I gave you two gems over there. You know that, right?
Yeah.
I gave you a little intro to my new song. I told you guys how to DJ like that. Let's just keep counting the gems today.
So BPM can also help, like I was saying, like it takes you on a high and then you like, you know, it changes, you play with people.
Yeah. So every genre of music has like, usually a BPM that's associated. For example, house music is usually like 120 to one. Actually, 120 is a very low house song. So, you know, like deep house could be 120, but like commercial house songs, 125 to 130 BPM. So that means that you're hearing duke, 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 duke. Hip hop song can be like 95 BPMs, or it could be even half of that. It could be 60 BPMs, like a Cardi B song. So it's so like a Central C song, his BPM to his song could be like 60 BPM. So it's a slower BPM. So yeah, you can definitely like, if you, when you speed a song up that you're used to, like you definitely feel better. I think it's a trick, by the way. I think DJs might not know, but any song sped up a little bit more always gives you a mood of like a, and if you slowed it down, like compared to what it usually is, it would like make you feel. So yeah, definitely it can influence your mood.
So you were on Netflix, The Biplane.
Yeah.
How did all that happen? Like, how did you get casted? And you know, how is your entire experience on the show?
So I got an email from this casting agency and I ignored it the first time. I thought, I'm like, I get these emails all the time.
Really?
I ignored it. So they re-emailed me again. They're like, hey, you know, we want to talk to you and we have the show. They wouldn't tell me what the show was about or anything. I'm like, sure, you know, I'll take the call. I took the call. And during this call, I think they told me it was going to be on Netflix. I'm like, there's no way. Like, I don't believe it. Like, this production house got like different email addresses. It's not... until I see at netflix.com email, like I'm not taking this thing seriously. And then we like went into our second interview and third interview, and they interviewed my wife, and you know, they started telling me about some of the cast. I was like, okay. And then, you know, when we got close to the contract, that's where we start getting emails from Netflix. I'm like, oh, yo, this is really Netflix.
And how has the show impacted your relationship with Daniel?
I think, you know, it really put us in a situation where we'd have to deal with a lot of things. And when you're on camera, like things are definitely more intense. So, I mean, we've had a lot of confrontations on the show on season one. On season two, you'll see a lot more as well. We have a pretty good like chat about sort of like, you know, life and relationships. So, you know, on season two, you'll probably get a good piece of that.
So any hints you're giving out for season two for that?
I'm trying to give it to you without giving it to you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you'll get the answer to that question on season two, if that helps.
So you said, you know, when you put out your show, you're good at business as well. And we can see you have two beautiful stores. One is Beats and Cuts, the Salo, and one is Karak Inc.
Yeah.
What inspired you to open Beats and Cuts?
You see this guy over here behind you? Yeah. This guy been my barber for like 15 years. So I used to cut my hair with him when I used to work on TV. I used to work in Dubai One. I used to go to him twice a week. And then one day he told me the shop he's working for is closing.
Okay.
So I'm like, what are you going to do? He's like, I don't know. He's like, I might go back to my home country. I'm like, there's no way. I'm like, who's going to cut my hair? Like, I've been doing it for like 5 years. I'm not going anywhere else. I was like, at that point, I was like, there's no one else who's really doing it the way he was doing it. Like, I'll just come sit down and it was like the same cut. I'd look the same for the show like every week. So he was like, I might go back. I'm like, well, what if I open a shop? Like, would you stay here? And like, would you work with me in the shop? Like, help me open it? And he said, yeah. And that's what we did. I found the place, a shop that was for sale. The day we opened, he was the only one who was cutting hair over there, like for maybe like a good couple of months. It was just like him and I would go in and like
work,
do like the reception sometimes. And then we'd like get a receptionist later and... that's how it started, yeah. His name's Rabia, by the way. Rabia the barber.
You can come say hi.
Rabia, come say hi. Just come down over here. That's the man.
Hi.
He's like, so he was like, yeah, he came over here and now he's like, he cuts everyone's hair. Like Will Smith, the entire Moroccan football team.
Wow.
Like French Montana, DJ Snake, Mo Vlogs comes here. He's got like a whole bunch of people which we can't even mention because we had to sign like NDAs.
Wow.
DJ
Bliss, of course. So how do you blend your passion for music with Beats and Cuts?
That's the reason why it was called Beats and Cuts. When I was going to open it, you know, my brother gave me the idea for the name. He's like, why don't you call it Beats and Cuts? Because it's going to be about music and about the cuts that we do. So that's what we do. So whenever you come in here, you don't necessarily hear the same stuff. It could be old school. It could be new school. And you know that wall at the back, like, I don't know if you guys can see it, but there's a wall at the top. Maybe we can like put a picture later.
Yeah.
It represents sort of like some of the greatest artists and musicians like to ever do it. So, you know, you have like Stevie Wonder, Aretha Franklin, Bob Marley, Notorious B.I.G., Kurt Cobain, Whitney Houston, Santana, Michael Jackson, Sade, Prince, Jimi Hendrix, Tupac, Lauryn Hill. Shout out DJ Mars is in here, by the way, as well. Everyone's in here today. So they're like icons over there, but they're not all dead. But that kind of represents like what you would hear in here. You could hear like, it might be like Bob Marley day today. It might be like just like hip hop today. You know, recently I've like making more house music, so you might hear like more house stuff in here as well.
Wow. So, and what are your future plans with Beats and Cuts? Are you going to expand more?
The thing that makes Beats and Cuts is like the place and the barbers. You know, to open like, it's not like a fast food chain where you just like replicate the burgers. Like, yeah. If I can clone him, yeah, then like you'd have like a Rabia in every store, then it would make sense. I don't know. I have thought about it, but let's see. I mean, if I was to do it, it's really just to kind of like provide my customers with an opportunity to be able to go somewhere that was closer to their house. That's all.
And moving to your next venture, Karak King Cafe.
Yeah.
How did you get the idea of that?
So I made a song about Karak. You know, I love this drink so much. It's like, it's pretty popular here in the Middle East, but you know,
I need a Karak. I need a Karak.
I love this so much. I just made a song about it. And then one day, somebody hits me up, this director that I know, and he's like, yo, I think I've got a sponsor who wants to film a music video for your song. And I had put this song out like back in the days, like there was not even SoundCloud. It was like on one of those, like, you know, one of those links that you would put somewhere and you'd find it on a blog or whatever. So that's what I did with it. So I was like, he's like, yeah, they want to shoot the video and they want to pay you for it. I was like, yes, of course. We shot the music video. It was, you know, Rainbow Milk who came in. They filmed the video. They like promoted it and we like made the song like super popular. And then I was like, what would be the next step? I thought like opening a cafe. Like, so, you know, I told everyone I need a Karak in the morning. I need a Karak in the evening. Put some cardamom in it. By the way, I got you some Karak from Karak Inc.
Yes.
You ready for some Karak now?
I don't mind. Let's go for it.
It's time for a Karak, right?
Yep.
Let's drop like 15 seconds of I need a Karak now.
Yeah.
I need a Karak in the morning. I need a Karak in the evening. I need a Karak in the morning. I need a Karak in the evening.
So we actually got these cool Karak boxes that you can take with you. So what we want to do with Karak is like to be more about the... Karak is a cultural thing, right? The 100%. Drink is available everywhere and it's a different taste to different people. So there's not like one place who can like please everyone for their Karak. But it's the experience. It's the culture. Like, we're going to sit here right now. We're going to drink a Karak and have a chat. Like, that's what it's about.
Yeah. I love Karak, by the way.
Yeah. And this kind of like, this glass also like represents our neighborhood in Karak. So you have like the cassette, like old school. So, you know, we do Karak ice cream as well. So you got Karak ice cream on here. You got an old school car. You got the, we put a couple of one dirhams because you know the one dirhams used to be a bigger coin.
Yes, yes.
So that represents that. The cassette is on here. The Karak things. Then we got like beep, beep. Because that's what you do, right? You stop with your car in front of a Karak shop and you do beep, beep. And this is how...
You package it.
I'm giving you this take home. Who's going to drink it at your house?
Everybody.
Family.
Everybody loves Karak.
All right, because everyone needs a Karak. So you take this with you home and then...
Done.
Serve it up.
Done.
Let me know how the Karak is. You're not going to say it's bad.
I would have.
Let's be honest.
No, but like, it is actually, guys, very good. I'm not kidding. It's not too sweet.
Yeah.
Which is very important because a lot of places make their Karak really
too sweet.
Yeah,
because I always think that like you can add sugar, but you can't remove it.
Exactly. But when it's too sweet, it just breaks your mouth after like, say like two sips and you're done. Like, you can't have more.
Oh, wow. It is good today, by the way. You know what? I don't usually drink this one. So we have vegan Karak and I'm usually like drinking vegan Karak. So whenever I have dairy, it's like a treat for me. And I'm not going to lie, I already had ice cream today. So I might only take a little bit of this.
So you said you had ice cream in the morning and like you're having milk. And we all saw you wanted abs so badly in the vibe link.
Listen, this abs thing, like, really, it really impacted my life, because every personal trainer, not in Dubai, not in UAE, the whole world has hit me up on DMs and it's like, yo, don't do the surgery. I can get you those abs without you having to do anything. So it was an idea the show came up with. They're like, yo, do you want abs? I'm like, hell yeah, I want abs. And I was in the gym at the time as well. Like, you know, you can do it like really quick. So I was like, cool. They're like, all right, cool. We're going to have a scene with you. Like, you're going to go see a doctor and he'll explain. And honestly, I thought it was like just one of those things. They might like do like a laser thing or it's like put these little pumps on there and like, that's it, abs. When I went in there and they're like, it's like invasive surgery and going to remove the fat. I was like, oh, no way. So I don't have the abs yet, but
season two,
season two, I visit a doctor again, but it's not for the abs. I told you, I'm giving you gems today.
You visited a doctor again.
I might even get in trouble for that. So I'm just going to leave it at that. I can't say more. Hold on. I know what to say. I don't know about that. That is a question for Netflix, but I'm looking forward to season two. That's my official statement.
So a day in a life of DJ Bliss. How do you typically balance your day? Because you start your day in the night.
Yeah.
Like 12 p.m. to like say 4 a.m. How do you balance your time with family, with Dania, with your kids? How do you do that?
Well, it works great with the kids because they have no idea that I went to work. So that helps. The only problem is I don't get much sleep because of it as a result sometimes. But we work it out between us. So, you know, if I'm working late at night, like I won't have to wake up and drop them to school. And then, you know, both our families are here. So they always help us out whenever we need to. I think the show made me and Dania actually hang out more than we used to before.
Really?
Yeah, because we had to shoot together. The shoots are long shoots. We had to like prep together. We had to talk about the show. You know, we start going out to a lot more gatherings and stuff. So I actually think that, yeah, we got to spend more time together as a result.
And what's the secret of DJ Bliss?
The secret of DJ Bliss is just be blissful all the time. I think that's the secret.
Just blissful all the time.
Happiness, right? Everyone's looking for their happiness. Some people look, you know, outside and for things and materialistic things or physical things, you know? And I truly believe like happiness is like from within. Like if you're really looking for happiness, the first place you got to go to is like go look in the mirror and start looking within, because that's where you're going to find the answers. Like you can affect my happiness, but you might not be here tomorrow, you know? My car is maybe making me happy today, but in 5-6 years or even 10 years, right? That car's not going to be running the way it's supposed to, but you know, yourself, you're always there. So I think that's the key, the secret.
Something that probably people don't know, how you've ever performed for someone that you've never put out. Basically, you've never talked or released about it.
What have I done that no one knows about? I once got the DJ for the entire Brazilian football team at the Burj Al Arab, and I didn't know it was them.
Really?
Yeah. And this was the team with Ronaldinho, who had just won the World Cup. I remember I got a call like super late in the evening, like 6 p.m. Like, yo, we need you to DJ at this party for like an hour at Burj Al Arab. And it was like really bad money too. I was going to say no. Then I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to say no. It's money. And, you know, I was paying for something and it was exactly that amount. It was so little, the money, by the way, but even back then. So I get there at Burj Al Arab and I was thinking, I'm like, yo, these guys had the money to throw a party at Burj Al Arab, but they couldn't pay me a good DJ fee. I was like, this is like weird. Anyway, I wait 12 till 1, the hour I was supposed to be there. Nobody shows up. Then I told the guy, I'm like, yo, we had a deal for an hour. He's like, don't worry, I'll give you like another extra little bit money for every hour.
Yeah.
They're going to come soon. Waited another hour, they didn't come. So now I'm already like, if I made like I can't remember exactly how much, but if I had 100, he had given me like 150 for 2 hours and I hadn't done nothing yet.
Yeah.
He's like, don't worry, I'll give you like 50 every hour. Just wait until they come. And then at like 3 or 3:20, the entire Brazilian football team walks in. I was like, huh? And he had told me right before they walked in, he's like, do you know who you're DJing for? I'm like, I have no idea. He's like, it's the Brazilian football team. I'm like, oh, it must be like a couple of players. And then the door opens. It is the entire Ronaldinho, Cafu, Roberto Carlos, Junior, like all of them, boom, 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 back to back. They're just walking in. They all just throwing a party and I DJ for them.
When was that?
I got a picture with them.
Yeah.
I remember they had a photographer. This was a long time ago. It might be like over 10 years ago, maybe almost 15 years, early in my DJ career. Very early. I was a bedroom DJ those days.
But that's big to play for the team.
Huge, yeah.
Yeah. So now we have a fun segment called the Brew and Buzz with Gulf Buzz. So yeah. We're going to ask you a set of questions and you just answer whatever you like. One artist you dream of collaborating with?
The Weeknd.
The song that gets any party started?
Cheb Khaled, C'est la vie.
Ooh, best haircut style?
Fade up and fade down. That's what I do. I go fade up on the hair and I fade down on my beard. That's my style.
One thing that you always carry with you?
My phone.
Most memorable fan interaction?
I was in like a little city in El Paso, Texas, and I came out of this airport, and it was a tiny airport. I had a gig at a club over there, and I came out. There was a guy holding a sign with my name on it and pictures he had cut out from the internet, and I was like, what? I got a little scared, but that was pretty cool.
The best piece of advice you've ever received?
Don't listen to the people who try and shut down your ideas, because the more you share your ideas, your dreams with people, the more they won't understand. The more they will shut it down.
One thing you can't live without?
One thing I cannot live without? Music.
Your favorite holiday destination?
For a holiday, I like islands, like
Maldives.
Maldives not bad. I like Seychelles more. Seychelles is good. Maldives is nice too. Thailand's got some beautiful islands too. Koh Phangan, like beautiful spot.
A habit you are proud of breaking, or something maybe that Dania doesn't like and you're proud of?
She calls me a perfectionist.
Well, yeah, she told us about that. Yes.
I mean, I feel like she should be saying thank you, but you're welcome, Dania.
And one last question. What does home mean to you?
Home means family. It means gathering. It means love. It means food, sharing, caring. Yeah, unconditional love and time. I think that's what makes a home.
Super. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
For being on the show. Thank you for this karak and this amazing spot. I'm going to come here for a haircut.
Definitely. Anytime.
Done. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Appreciate it.